it's also good to connect as the body of Christ and with other people around us and be the light to the world. So Lord, I just thank you that when I open up my mouth, you just fill it with your scriptures full of power and love and clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so I am doing an honor series, and it's so funny. Every time I think I know what I'm going to preach on Friday, he tells me to scrap it and start from fresh. So like at 1:15 in the morning last night, this all came together, and I'm excited about it with 3 cups of coffee. So let's see here. My message today about honor is part 6, and I'm talking about honoring people despite our differences. How many people know God made us all different? Yeah. And how many people know that there are people in the world that are different and maybe some of their beliefs don't line up with the word of God, but we are still to honor them despite those differences, right? And that's how the world comes to know Jesus. Also, my challenge to you guys, someone's like, we should have everybody sit together. I know that that normally makes people mad, but my encouragement, if you just slide over to be closer to people you normally wouldn't get to connect with, it would really line up with, you know, my sermon last week and this week. just a challenge, but you don't have to. All right, so how many people know this? When you pray and ask God for joy, for purpose, how about answers to hard questions? How many people besides myself, when you read the Bible, there are like hard questions that come up and you go, you know, what does that mean? How many people know that there are things in your life, areas of loss or hurt or pain, and you're praying for God to come into those areas and bring freedom and bring healing? And you know what he does? He brings people. And generally speaking, they're not the people that we thought they would be, or even the people we thought we really wanted in our life. Raise your hand if you know you prayed for God to give you an answer and he sent it in the form of someone you went, God, you got anybody else? Because they drive you nuts. They just rub you the wrong way. Or how about this? You just don't have anything in common. God sent someone to your life and you're like, what do we even talk about? Come on, right? Because you're just from like different cultural backgrounds, different experiences. You're into different stuff. I found this out, I graduated from Spring Grove High School, so I went to public high school my whole life, and I spent a lot of time in prayer about what I was supposed to do for my career path and where I was supposed to go, and I heard, you know when you hear, and I'm normally I see, I heard to go to Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so I started praying for my friends. I was like, God, give me a good roommate and friends. And I was kind of picturing the kind of friends the last time I prayed for. God gave me a really great group of strong Christian friends my junior and senior year of high school. First couple years were rough, but then he gave me some great ones in my public school. So I had this like idea in my mind of what these friends and this roommate would look like. And then I got this letter in the mail from this girl, and her name was Courtney. And apparently you could write the college and they could give you the address, so you could kind of make that connection of who your roommate would be. And I'm all excited, and I open up this letter, and suddenly I just kind of was like hit. I was like, this is probably not the kind of roommate that I was like thinking I would get, because I was thinking I would get like my friends in high school that were artsy and eclectic and into the music and theater and listen to classic rock and Motown and indie music and would shop at the Salvation Army with me and the Goodwill. Yes, I have, you know, I know. This is with me in high school. By the way, I like wore just chapstick in high school. This is what happens when you room with a Texan for like, I roomed with Texans for 9 years. You come back with more makeup on your face and high heels. It's just wild. So anyway, I was thinking my friend would be like this, and I quickly found out in this little letter that God sent me this chipper, preppy little cheerleader girl that her favorite color was pink. And I was like, oh, okay. And she went to Christian school her whole life, and nothing wrong with that. But like, it was just, what do we talk about, you know? So she had her phone number there, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna call her. And it was the most awkward phone conversation. You ever have you meet someone at work, and maybe you're supposed to train them to, anybody have to train people on the job, and you're like, oh, it'll be great. And you're like, wee, this is just awkward. Like, when is the lunch break? So it was like an excruciatingly awkward phone conversation, because all she wanted to talk about was how we were gonna decorate our rooms. And I was like, I got to college on a scholarship. I had no car, no cell phone. My budget was not getting matching pillows. Truth. So I was like, okay. I was like, this is just terrible. And I was like, you know what? Just pick anything that goes with blue. Blue is my favorite color. We'll just figure it out when we get there. I get to college. Anyway, we meet for the first time, and she is this cute little 5-foot-nothing, little cute little cheerleader in a bubblegum pink matching sweater set. And I was like, okay. Actually, here's the wild thing. And, you know, you have to really get rid of your preconceived notions. Because what is that? That's prejudice, right? When someone based on the outside, you think they're going to be one way. You think we have nothing in common. Well, we didn't. We had nothing in common but Jesus. I met her parents. Her parents were really well off, almost to the point where it was a little intimidating. You know, when they take you to a nice restaurant, and you're like, ooh, this, you know, which fork? Ah. The most generous, kind-hearted, friendly people. The most embracing people I had ever met. And you know, it's interesting, when you don't have a lot of money, you normally don't make it home for Thanksgiving, the most expensive time to fly, right? And Courtney was always inviting me down to Texas. And so I remember like one year, it's just the finances weren't there. And so I went on a road trip to Texas. And, their family became, we had not, like I said, nothing in common but Jesus. They became like my family. They became a home away from home. And I'll tell you, her father had so much wisdom in his life. And I remember when my father was sick, someone I could ask those questions to. She became my best friend for life, maid of honor, just a wonderful person. And to this day, when I have tough questions, she's actually, she's a therapist in New York City. And how many people know those therapists that are born again, spirit-filled Christians, you need them on your team, because I sometimes have those hard questions and need counsel. So she's just this incredible resource in my life. And my life was better and forever changed for her. And what was also wild is my friends in college, none of them were people I would pick for myself. And after that, none of the friends, truly, that God sent to me, they were all people so different than me. And how many people know different is good? Different might be a little awkward, but you learn stuff. It's fun and exciting. How many people, I like trying new food. I like listening to new music and different movies. And just, why? Because I'm never bored, because I'm always learning. So here's my point. When you ask God for some answers, and he sends it in the form of something or someone you didn't want, be very careful not to blow that person off or judge them. And I'm telling you, we sometimes have political prejudice, right? We're going into that season, y'all. You see a particular sign in their yard, you're like, oh, we're not, just walk the dog on the other side of the road. Oh, we're good. We have political prejudice. We have social prejudice. We have economic prejudice. You know, sometimes we think prejudice is by the color of our skin, and that's evil. But we also have these preconceived notions that make us shove people into molds because someone that looked like them, talked like them, hurt us in the past or had a disagreement or, you know, debated us till we were blue in the face. And, so where am I going with this? Everybody open up your Bible to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. You know, like I said, my message is about honoring people despite our differences. You know, you can honor someone and not agree with them, right? You know, the Bible calls sin, sin. We're never going to call it anything different at this church, right? But I can still love and honor that person, treat them with respect and dignity, and they might want to hear about Jesus and allow Jesus to change their life. So, Acts chapter 10, this jumps into a story that, oh man, I went down the rabbit hole, so I'm going to pray in Jesus' name I finish on time. Thank you, Lord. Jumps into the story about Peter and how he had to overcome incredibly great social and religious bias for God to change the course of history in one meeting to answer one invitation. So it all started with this really kind of an answer to a question that was brought about through prayer, and God lined up a divine connection. All right, so Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it says, in Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was the captain of the Italian regiment. All right, so you guys know your history, so the Jewish nation was conquered constantly, right? You know, so they would follow God, things would go well, they get away from following what the Lord had asked them to do, and they get all these different idols in their life, which just means putting stuff and people before God. Right? And they started walking away from a close relationship with him. And when you start walking away from close relationship, you walk outside that umbrella and man, just stuff hits you, right? And you know, sometimes stuff hits a country just because, you know, a couple people are following the Lord, but other people let it down that path. So Israel got just conquered. Just, it was rough. The Romans, which, you know, were conquering the world at that time, you know, there were pros and cons to Roman rule, but if you were a Jew, it was pretty much all cons because They were pretty oppressive. It was a pretty harsh regime to live under. So let's talk about Cornelius. Okay, so Cornelius was a man of character and integrity. So how many people know you can have someone on the other team that still operates in character and integrity, even though they believe something completely different than you? Okay? So this is so funny. It's football season. It's like, you know, going to sit on the other side, you know, the side you boo. All right. So Caesarea It was the cultural home base for the Roman leadership. So it was fancy. It was nice. It was on the sea. And let's see here. What do I want to talk? Sorry, there's just so much. I had so much fun digging into things. Thank you, Lord. You helped keep me focused here. All right. So Cornelius, like I said, he was a man of character and integrity, and actually said he was a devout man seeking the one true God. So he believed that there was one true God, right? And he was seeking him, but he didn't know Jesus. And he was a good guy. Now, I want to say this. The Jews disdained the Roman leadership and the Roman regime for many reasons. Number one, they were conquered and just taxed and taxed. And how many people love when you're taxed and taxed and taxed, but they didn't see any benefit from it, really, you know? And they're very oppressed. Jews assumed that all Romans worshipped these idols and demonic gods, and most of them did. And that led to very twisted, perverse sexual and religious practices within that day. And you can go back and do a deep dive study on that. But that involved like temple prostitutes and really sick abuses within this context of religions, because whatever they would conquer, they would just absorb that religion. They're like, we're not going to change you, but we'll just take on your beliefs, right? So that they would take on some culture, they would take on some religions, and then they would also kind of make some changes as well. So the Romans didn't like the Jews because they saw the Jews as judgy, elite snobs, because they had all these rules and regulations and were obsessed with like looking good and things like that. And the Jews hated the Romans because, you know, they were the conquerors, they're the people that taxed them, and they had all these kind of twisty pagan practices within their culture. But not Cornelius. Cornelius, he was a centurion. That means he was in leadership over about 100 or more soldiers. Did not fall into these stereotypes at all. So Acts chapter 10, verse 2, says this: Cornelius was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. Another translation. So he was a man of, I'm trying to think how I want to say this. Think about this. Did you know that there are God-fearing people that do their best to kind of honor a God that they don't really know very well, and they might have a different political party, they might have a different sign in your yard than you, but they're seeking God. You follow? Okay? So Cornelius was this guy kind of on the other side, and he was seeking God, and he was having these deep questions in prayer. And he wanted to know, you know, there was something different about the Jewish people. May not really connect with that culture, but he knew there was something very real about their God. How many people know that there are good people that might even attend churches, but they don't really, how do I say this, have that relationship with Jesus? They hear about him, but they don't really know how to connect with him. Maybe the Bible and scripture feels overwhelming to them. Maybe they don't quite understand it. Maybe someone used the Bible as a weapon and beat them upside the head of it. Come on, ever been around someone that weaponized the gospel? And you're like, well, I want to know God. You know, the agnostics believe there's something out there. They just don't really know what it is, maybe because Christians really poorly represented Jesus. You got to read your word for yourself, and you'll find out the people that weaponized the gospel to beat someone up and say you're not good enough took things out of context and said, guess what? Jesus is for everyone. Remember? You can come to him just as you are, but you'll leave different. All right. So it said this, that, So he did many charitable, great works among the people and was always praying to God. So he was good at being good. He was a giving man. He was a generous man. He was kind to the Jews. Probably, like I said, they were very oppressed and treated pretty bad by the Romans, but he was probably looking to probably defend them because he's like, I don't know everything, but they know something. All right. So Cornelius was odd. He was different. He stood out from the stereotype of Romans in the empire. Now, the Romans in the empire had, like I said, a bunch of weird religious practices. Number one, they have what was called, I had to look it up a little bit, they practice state worship. So what that was, it was a formal system of public worship that involved colleges of these pagan priests and their idols, right? and they would pay tribute to a bunch of these pagan deities on behalf of the government. So they kind of had like this kind of, you know, government religion, and they're like, hey, we don't really know, but, you know, we'll worship all these different gods because then we'll get their blessing to bless our government and bless our communities and so forth. Each Roman household often had their own idols and their own gods that they also prayed to. They prayed differently. They were kind of vague. They would kind of barter with their gods. They're like, okay, you know, they don't know them. They're kind of like in these weird, you know, idols. And, you know, some of them is because demonic spirits have appeared to people and they would kind of create something in that image. And they're like this, you know, hey, this particular god or deity, if you do this for me, if you bless my business, then I'll do this for you. So it's interesting, when you're in a begging mindset, when you're bartering with God, you're probably coming from a different religion mindset when you think about that. All right. So now they also had this other thing called an imperial cult worship, where they worshiped the emperor and their families. And this came about 44 B.C., wait, was it B.C., A.D.? You know, all that fun stuff. Hold on. Let me see here. Anyway, 44 B.C., and it was right after that Julius Caesar was murdered. So they thought, okay, you know, we just don't want everyone to kill the leaders they don't agree with, so we're going to kind of make up this cult where we worship our leaders. And it would bring unity to the state. So, you know, hey, make it up as you go. It benefited the Roman government. So once again, they have this national state worship, worshiping all these different gods. They have household gods. And then they're also now worshiping their emperor. Okay, so there's a lot of mixture going on. There's a lot of just confusion, maybe. All right. So the Roman culture was infested with these demonic pagan polytheism. And once again, when they went and conquered a land, which they were doing, they were conquering a good chunk of the world, they would absorb then, hey, this god, as long as it didn't threaten the state of Rome, we'll just kind of absorb them. You know, it's kind of a good way of getting people to vote for us. A little bit like Christian universalism, which just says, yeah, we like Jesus and all your other ones too. It's not Christianity, because there's only one way to the Lord. There's only one way to heaven, Jesus. It's a narrow road and there's one door. All right, so let's get back to Cornelius. So Cornelius was a man of faith. He had faith in God. He just didn't know him. He didn't know who Jesus was. So he was kind of a lot like the Jews back then, right? So did many good deeds. All right, so Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus said this. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. So he is asking. He is seeking the one true God. He's asking, he's seeking. Many of you have people in your lives from a different culture, from a different political background, social background, economic background, and they need a safe place to ask questions. Are you a safe place to ask questions? Or are you going to weaponize the Bible and just beat them upside the head? Are you going to work and try to come against the fruit in their life instead of just going in to get their heart to come to know Jesus? And the fruit will naturally change. All right. Last week we talked, it's very important to honor the invitation of when people maybe invite you to their baby shower or to their barbecue, and you're like, that's awkward, that's uncomfortable, man, they're about stuff that I'm not about, what will we talk about? And Jesus is going, would you honor the invitation? Because I'm going to send you as a missionary to people that you have nothing in common with except you love Jesus, and they're praying to know if there's a God out there, who is he? And I'm going to answer them in the form of you. Yeah, it's going to be awkward at that baby shower. What are you going to talk about? It's going to be awkward at the company Christmas party when you sit beside that one person that their t-shirt says that we have nothing in common based on that t-shirt. All right, so Acts chapter 10, 3 through 5. When someone sends us an invitation or starts asking us questions, we need to be quick to respond and honor that invitation and honor that person despite our differences. Acts chapter 10, 3 through 5. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, it said, Cornelius had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. And he says, Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. He's like, I see you, I hear you. I see what you're seeking. I see that you're doing your best to live for this God you don't really even know. says, now send men to Joppa and have them call for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter, and invite him here. So Joppa was the seaside port where the Jews were at, and he was in Caesarea where the Romans were at. So two very, very different cultures and beautiful places, all right? Now, what Peter did with that invitation will change the course of history forever, especially our lives today. Acts chapter 10, 6 through 8 says this. It says that Peter was staying with Simon the tanner, who lived near the seashore. And as soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants, and he told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. So this kind of tells me that whatever experience that Cornelius has with God, he's over people. He has influence of people. He's in a leadership position. So whatever God does in Cornelius's life is going to what spill out to the other people around him. God's setting up a divine appointment for a divine connection, calling a new strategic relationship to bring some people into alignment that needed to cross paths for such a time as this. Peter was staying in one place for a short amount of time. It is very important when you feel the Lord to tug at you, starts tugging at your heart to connect with someone, to be immediately responsive, because their heart right then in that moment is ready to meet with you. Or maybe they're just traveling through. Maybe they're just, you know, at a truck stop traveling through and you need to go talk to that trucker, but because he won't ever be there again in that moment. So these are strategic moments. All right, so meantime, God's preparing Peter's heart to respond to this invitation, because how many people know when God is calling you to someone that you have nothing in common with and you're kind of dreading that awkward interaction, you need to start spending time with God and let God work on your heart. All right, Acts chapter 10, 9 through 20, it says, the next day as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon and he was hungry. So back in that day, Jews prayed about 3 times a day. It was just kind of a part of their habit. And remember, he's at this seaside town, so he goes to that quiet place away from distractions. He's on this little flat rooftop looking out over the sea and talking to Jesus. And this is what happens. By the way, he's probably hungry. How many people of you are hungry at lunchtime? Yeah, so he's kind of smelling somebody's cooking some stuff, and so he's probably starting to think about some things. God will use your surroundings and what you're exposed to speak to you. And I have a series on prophetic ministry that I will eventually get to. But it's interesting. He's staying at Simon the Tanner's house. So tanners, what? How many people know taxidermists and so forth? They probably have all kinds of carcasses and animals and weird stuff on the wall. So he's probably has some things in the back of his brain. Did you know God can talk to you through the experiences that you're having in that moment or symbols that's going around your life? So what happens is this, is Acts chapter 10, verse 10. While the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Okay, you're like, what is this trance thing? A biblical trance is just a prophetic means that God is talking to you and he still speaks today. All right, so you're like, what does this mean? So there's probably like 3 levels of visions, and a spiritual vision is just really basic. I get these all the time. It's just this impression in your heart. It's like a God daydream. How many people, when someone's talking to you, your mind wanders? Did you know sometimes that's God talking to you? You might think you're ADD and God's like, actually, I'm just trying to get your attention. So ask him what it means. It needs to line up with scripture. Okay, so that's very common. It happens to me all the time. God talks to me in pictures. Okay, this next level is a trance vision, and it's when your natural faculties are suspended. They stop responding. That means your eyes, your ears, all of a sudden you're just not where you were in that moment. I have stories, like I said, I don't have time for it. I have so much teaching I want to do on this one. Anyway, and the next one's an open vision. And that's where, you're doing your own thing. Maybe you're out in the living room and you're having a conversation with your wife. And all of a sudden, you get this vision. It's like a TV screen or a clip of a video just kind of projected on the wall. And you can still see your family, your friends, and what's going on. But God's talking in the midst of it. Well, this one must have been really important because God like blocks all the distractions out, and all of a sudden he is like just totally not where he thought he was. And this is what happens. So God's getting his attention. Seems pretty important. Acts chapter 10, 11 through 19. It said, Peter saw the sky open up and something like a large sheet was let down by its 4 corners. And in the sheet were all sorts of animals and reptiles and birds. And a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." So according to the Jewish laws back then, there were certain just animals that were, for sanitary reasons, they're like, probably best not to eat that. Because, you know, they didn't have the sewage systems that we have today. You know, they just threw things out in the streets and in the oceans and in the seas where they got their water and things ate stuff. And you got me, right? So for sanitary reasons, God's like, you know, probably not to best to eat bottom feeders in this day and age because there's gross stuff at the bottom back then. Okay, and please don't eat the scavengers because there's no sanitary laws back then. He's trying to preserve the health of the people. Okay, you know, how many know this? Sometimes we get stuck in legalism or there was a really good reason and then we just drive it into the ground and kind of forget what it's all about. All right, so that's kind of what happened with Jewish laws here. So they called these creatures unclean to stop the spread of diseases and so forth. Now Jesus set us free from the curse of the law. Jesus fulfilled the law and just said, hey, don't worry about, you know, all the letters of it, but focus on me. So I want to say this. I'm glad I'm not Jewish back then because it would be a sad life without bacon. Raise your hand if you love bacon. How many of you love shrimp? Yes. Crab cakes. Lobster. I'm not into lobster. I just give me a crab cake. Give me crab cake and shrimp, okay? My husband doesn't like shellfish. I just eat his. It's wonderful. It's a really good match made in heaven. Now, mind you, all these creepy things are crawling around, and my dad raised me to just always try odd foods. My dad built houses for people of different nationalities and always loved trying different things, and I wanted to be cool like my dad, so I'll just try anything once. You know, I just will. I've eaten alligator. I've eaten sea urchin. It's nasty. It just smells like armpit, but I tried it twice. I've eaten frog legs. I ate like a whole bucket of frog legs until I started focusing on the green veins, and then I went, I was like, okay, but they do taste like chicken. All right. I could probably skip snake barbecue, but there's all these different options out. Yeah, right? See, Miss Deb's like, we're good. Just give me a burger. Burger and a baked potato. Yeah. I don't need to know what it is. I actually recently found out, I was talking to someone, that a family that I knew was raising guinea pigs, and, you know, because if something bad happened, you could eat a guinea pig, and I'm like, no, but there are wonderful people in the world that's part of their natural diet, and you shouldn't insult them, and I just don't want to see its face when you put it in front of me, because my parents taught me you eat everything set before you. Ask Brad. I'll eat it. I've had some things, but I'll eat it, okay? So what's, God is using a symbol to make a point. How many people know that sometimes people share a story or a parable or a symbol because your wall's down and you remember and it makes a point and there's a spiritual truth behind this, and this is what's going on. So first of all, Peter is grossed out at the whole snake barbecue idea and he tries to convince God it's a bad idea. How many people, God tries to get you to do something and you're like, hey God, let's have a talk about this. This is a bad idea. And he's like, really? Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's your Savior. If he's your Lord, you're going to do anything he asks you to do. But, you know, let's be honest. At least you're talking to him about it. So Peter's at least talking to the right person, not Googling online for reasons not to obey the voice of the Lord. All right. So Acts chapter 10, 15 through 16, the voice of the Lord spoke again. So how many people know when you start arguing with God, he will keep talking to you until you obey? And if you haven't heard from the Lord in a really long time, it's probably because you're not doing the last thing he asked you to do. You know, when your kid's like, hey, mom, dad, can I do this? And you're like, you need to clean your room or you need to finish your homework. And they keep asking you silly questions and you go, I have spoken. All right. So three times this happened. Three times this vision came. And then after three times, I think he started to get the point that God was not going to back down from his instructions. So this is a strong, oh man, did I miss something? Hold on, let me see here. I know, I just have like so much. I'm having fun here. All right. What the Lord is saying is don't call something unclean that God has cleaned. Don't call something impure that God's already cleaned up and said is pure. So this kind of aligns with the teachings of Jesus, and I encourage you to do a great study about food sacrificed to idols and food within that day. So Jesus said this in Matthew 15, verse 11 in the Amplified. Jesus says, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile or dishonor them. It is what comes out of their mouth that defiles and dishonors them. Jesus is addressing cultural differences. Okay, because Jews had all these different rules, okay? Because, you know, they're living in a society just entrenched in paganism. And they're just getting all, like, stuck on these legalistic rules. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day that kind of ruled the people, believed that eating food with unwashed hands defiles not only the food, but defiles the body. So if you forgot to, you know, there's certain countries that you only eat with a certain hand, and it's a terrible insult if you eat with the other hand at the table. He's addressing these cultural norms, and he's like, hey, I know this is awkward. I know you don't understand it. I know when they do this, you take it super judgy and personal. He's like, but, you know, we just knock it off. It's not what you're doing culturally that makes you impure, right? We have these cultural differences, right? It's what you say and do that do. So stop obsessing over people that do life differently than you. And go back to, it's your words and your actions, right? It's not the clothes that you wear. You know, we get really judgy about what people wear. Oh, how can they be a Christian? Look what they're wearing. You know what? What you wear to the beach down in, how many people know this? What you wear to the beach in Ocean City is probably not what you should wear to church on Sunday morning. But if they come in here, I'm just glad they're here. Follow me? So stop judging them and just, you know, disciple them, you know, and they'll kind of start figuring out what might be appropriate to follow cultural differences, right? Okay, you follow me, follow me? Okay. So Jesus is explaining it's the words and actions that make, that are sins. It's not so much how we, it's not your diet or your cultural eating habits. They're obsessing about, they're fixating on these cultural differences. All right, so we should be more concerned with gossip and slander and causing division, which is what religious folk do, than trying to pick apart someone's life and shove them into a mold. Now, if the scripture calls it a sin, it's a sin. We ain't ever going to change that. But if you're looking for answers that are not in the Bible, I think you're obsessing over cultural legalism. You're obsessing over cultural legalism. Follow me. The Bible calls certain things sin. And if you can't find a scripture specifically that addresses it, it might just be a cultural difference and just move on. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Titus 1 verse 15, Paul taught, to the pure all things are pure. So there are just certain people that operate in a critical spirit, and they're just looking for things that are wrong. And no matter what they see, and no matter what they're looking for, they find something bad in it. And you always feel not good enough. They just pick you apart, right? Okay. We need to refocus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the gospel preaching? What's the gospel preaching? Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to scripture. Let's connect with Jesus and the power of unity and the Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 10, 17 through 20 says, Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then, the man, there's one thing here, hold on. I know, I just like lots of fun things going on. 1 Corinthians 8:8, so I'm just closing this thought. It's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. It's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. Being perfect by a certain culture's standard, right? We don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. Do you follow me? He's just addressing cultural differences. All right. Moving on. So you got some people are like, show me some scriptures. Here we go. All right, Acts chapter 10, 17 through 20. Now Peter is perplexed. You can tell, like, God ever tell you something that bugged you? Like every day, right? You ask God certain questions and he answers you. He's like, I don't like that answer. It's in scripture. Well, you know what? You're gonna have to chew on it a while because we don't get to pull out the scriptures we don't like. We don't get to cut out certain scriptures that don't align with our agenda. We often use scriptures to weaponize against people because it aligns with our agenda, but look in the context, look in the culture. So Peter's very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then, the man sent by Cornelius, it's all starting to make sense now, found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if the man named Simon Peter was staying there. They're like calling up, hey, because what, they're Gentiles, they're Romans, and they're not allowed to hang with you. They're not allowed to come into your house because why, you're dirty people, but you're sinful. I don't want to bring that sin in my house. Really? Oh, I don't know what they're spiritually carrying. Just come over, okay? You know what, this is my house. This is, you come under my authority, I'm not worried about it, right? You might come as you are, but you're going to leave different. All right. So they Hey, is Peter there? Meanwhile, Peter was puzzling over this vision, and, you know, Holy Spirit hit himself upside the head. He starts to get it. The Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, I have sent them. Stop overthinking it. Just be obedient. Stop overthinking it. Just be obedient. What will the neighbors say if I go over to their house for dinner? They have a certain sign in their yard, and wow, they're living a totally different lifestyle, and what if me going over to their dinner says I approve of that lifestyle? Are you more concerned what other people are going to think about you than what God told you to do? Just be obedient. But, you know, Jesus loves you, and if you stay in the Word, he will start to prepare your heart to be fully obedient to him, okay? Why would Peter hesitate and worry about these Roman potential guests? Okay, so Peter is like the high-up leader of the network of churches in Jerusalem, okay? And for many reasons, this felt very awkward and a very uncomfortable situation that was about to happen. This is an uncomfortable, awkward, cross-cultural invitation here, all right? So remember, the pagans and the Jews, or the Romans and the Jews, had great prejudice towards each other. By Jewish law, it was sinful to associate and to have dinner with these Gentiles. You couldn't even eat together. Well, yeah, because they would be eating some weird food, you know, and they'd probably be having some crass language and using some four-letter words over past the salt. Okay, you know. But they kind of like lost the whole point. Jews would be considered dirty by association. People, you might lose your business over this and friendship over this if you start inviting these people over to your barbecue with the church folk. Mm-hmm. Now, Peter still followed all the Jewish laws because it was his culture about food, so he didn't eat the shrimp. Give me your shrimp, okay? You know, and he didn't go over to pagan Gentiles' houses with all their, you know, little idols and weird stuff going on in their house. He didn't go to their house. But God's saying, you're now in a new day and age, and now you're going to be a missionary sent to them. God knew that this was going to be a very uncomfortable situation for Peter. And when you are being sent to a person that their lifestyle totally just does not line up with your worldview or even the Bible or even scripture, that's going to be a little uncomfortable. I have some relationships in my life and my neighborhood that are like that. And I told Brad, I said, Brad, I just got to seek God every day because I know tough questions are going to be asked. And I'm just going to trust that I'm going to be so full of scripture that when I open my mouth, it's going to be spoken with power and love. And you know what? If they see that I'm not weird and I love Jesus and I let Jesus transform my life, that they're going to want that too. So Peter went down, this is verse 21, says, I'm the man you're looking for, and why have you come? And they said, we were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well-respected by the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you or invite you to his house so that he can hear your message. He doesn't know what message he's going to bring. There's just something tugging at that one person at the workforce that, you know, they have nothing in common with you. You see the pictures on their desk, and they see the pictures on your desk, and we have totally different family situations. We have totally different political beliefs. You know, I hear the way they talk in the break room, and yeah, you know. But there's a message that you have inside of you. It's your story. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ himself. They don't know what that is inside you, but they know there's something different about you. It is the peace, love, joy that you carry like Peter's shadow. You walk in the room, peace, love, and joy comes where you come. And they want that. You might even be persecuted for something. Yeah, I know some people that get persecuted for being really joyful. You know, they're just jealous. Sit beside them at the break room and the company picnic, you know, and it just... It might be uncomfortable for them and you, but look what God wants to do. There's a message that Peter has that Cornelius needs. He has no idea what it is. So verse 23, Peter thankfully was prepped and he obeyed the teachings of the Lord and embraced them with, we're going to talk about this, hospitality. Despite what other friends, family, and neighbors might think, they extended honor to someone that was very different than them and opened up their home to them with another invitation. It's one thing to say, hey, come on in, just stay in the hallway. You know, I'll just go spray some, just douse some things with holy water. Hey, do you want to spend the night? That's what he said. I bet his wife panicked. First of all, we got uninvited guests, and now they're spending the night. You know, do you think they're like anointing oil on the sheets, you know, and throwing holy water everywhere? Burn the sheets afterwards. No, this is like, that's prejudice. Okay, don't worry about what they're carrying. You know, God's got you. So Peter, and it says in verse 23, so Peter invited the men to stay the night as his guests. Didn't make it really simple, just simply obedient. Verse 23, the next day he went with them and accompanied by some of the believers from Joppa. So he took some church folk with him. He goes, hey, I know that this is going to get around. There's going to be gossip going. So how about you just come as just my witness and just see what God's going to do? Kind of a smart guy. So they arrived in Caesarea the following day, and Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. By the way, this is just not quick traveling. They don't just jump in their little, like, car to go up the street, okay? This is a 30-mile difference. They get there. So I guess they jumped in a boat. All right, so Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So what do? Somebody that's really different than me, that their people don't like me and my people don't like them, but God's calling us to just have a barbecue. All my friends and family are coming, all my coworkers. I don't know. I just feel like we need to connect. And here's what happened. As Peter entered the home, Cornelius fell to his feet and worshiped him. What are you, Cornelius, you just made it weird. Dude, you ever been around someone totally different than you? I was like, yeah, you just really made it weird. That joke, yeah. Hey, honey, can you just plug the kids' ears on that one? Just, oh, wow, that was really inappropriate. Okay, that's fine. Guys, he came from a pagan culture. What? You know, like he's doing his best to follow the God that, you know, and it says he's devout and he's God-fearing and he's a good guy. He's doing his best, but, you know, he comes from a different cultural background, you know, different religious practices. And Peter's like, yo, don't worship me, just Jesus. That's okay. We're just going to move past this. All right. So verse 26, Peter pulled up and said, stand up. I'm a human being just like you. So they talked together, probably shared some stories, and went inside his house, where there were many others assembled. And verse 28, Peter told them, you know, it's against our law for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or associate with you, but God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure and unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent me. Now, how many people know about Peter? Peter says stupid stuff all the time. I would not lead with this. When you're just going to share Jesus with people, don't be like, so all of my friends of a different political party hate you guys. I just want you to know, but I love you. He was stupid, but God uses stupid people all the time. It's why he picked Peter. Listen, Peter's awesome. He just kind of sometimes doesn't think. So I wouldn't lead with that. I know my church wouldn't welcome you, but I welcome you. Just stop making it weird. All right, here we go. So Cornelius basically explains that he was seeking God, and an angel appeared for him. And he said, I don't know why. I just feel like, I don't know, every time I walk past your cubicle at work, every time I drive past your work truck, I just feel like, you know, we should hang out. Do you want to grab lunch? Okay. And then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. Verse 36, and this is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ. It doesn't say all paths lead to eternity. It doesn't say everybody that's a good person goes to heaven. It says, hey, God doesn't show any favorites, and any person that believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be saved. Clear gospel, simple gospel. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and the Holy Spirit with power. So he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. And they started sharing, and we followed Jesus. So suddenly stories of what Jesus had done in their life, what they saw Jesus do. And it's just really long, so go back and read it. Just a simple gospel and sharing stories. And it says, then they, the Romans, your buddies, put him to death by hanging him on a cross. Didn't rub his nose in it, just kind of said, stayed the facts here. It says, but God raised him to life on the third day, and he is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in Jesus will have their sins forgiven through his name. So he's like, hey, Cornelius, I know you're a really good person. You're trying to seek this God that you don't really know. You know, there's a lot of religions. There's some religions that believe there's only one God. And they're seeking, they just don't know who that one God is. And they need to know Jesus. And you know Jesus. And suddenly it's a very simple connection. But they need to hear your story. Don't be all judgy about it, trying to fix them and mold them. Just give them Jesus and let the word do the work, okay? So Peter shared a very simple good news of Jesus, period. And then he's like, hey, Holy Spirit, by the way, we'll get to that. This is kind of cool. And this is when things with the Holy Spirit get wild. How many people know that Holy Spirit's not weird? He's just wild. Weird people make him weird. Sometimes he does really wild things that kind of like you go, wow, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I want all Holy Spirit I can get because I'll never be bored in church. I also won't be bored outside of church because he is just as real here as he is at home, as he is at Walmart. I want all of God I can get, don't you? So the Holy Spirit now does something that he has never done before. Verse 44, even as Peter was saying these things, so he's just sharing a story and just preaching a very simple gospel. He's not even preaching, he's just sharing about Jesus. And all of a sudden, you ever get around someone and they start sharing their testimony, how God healed them or restored their marriage, or, you know, hey, they prayed and their dog that was lost came home, and all of a sudden, like, your heart just warms. And Holy Spirit starts working on your heart. You don't even know, but just something's different going on. The power of the gospel is being shared in the midst of this story, and faith is rising up. And God did something very different. It says, while they were listening, the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. And Peter asked, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days, and the whole household got to know Jesus. The whole household got filled with the Holy Spirit. The whole household started moving these powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit they'd never been taught before, and they got baptized. And you know what happens to Cornelius overflows into the people that he's called to lead, right? Why is this so significant? For those, you know, Pentecostal just means we believe that everything happened in the Old Testament's for today and the day of Pentecost. You don't have to be the most perfect person in the room to operate in all these gifts of the Holy Spirit and tongues. It's for everybody, right? You know, there are people at other churches that just believe that when the last apostle died, that all stopped. You know what I do? I hang out with them. I have friends at all different churches, all different denominations. Brad does too. I go to a youth pastor's luncheon once a month, all different denominations, and I'll tell you, some of them just think tongues are demonic. They think gifts of the Holy Spirit is you operating in a different spirit. If you move in the prophetic, if you prophesy over someone, they think there shouldn't be any women ministers or pastors, and they shouldn't wear makeup and heels, and you know, and they believe something different for the rapture and the end times. You know what we do when we get together? We talk about Jesus. We take all of our hats off. We don't debate. We don't pick apart things. We create a safe place. Sometimes we'll go on double dates with them. And so many of my friends from churches that have outlawed some of these things or teach against some of these things have go, hey, Sherry and some of my other people from a spirit-filled life that go there, we know you're not weird. Can I ask you some questions? And they start asking these questions. I pray in tongues almost every day, but they know I'm not weird. And they'll ask me to pray for them, and I'll prophesy over them. I just don't go, thus saith the Lord thy God at the lunch place, you know, in Mexitali. I don't make it weird. I just prophesy over them. I just kind of change the language. You know what's happened to a lot of my friends? They'll visit other people's churches. We do youth events together. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they just go home and just open up the word, go, God, I want all you can get. And some of them have asked to be spirit-filled and they haven't prayed with tongues yet, but they want it. I don't go trying to change them, fix them, debate them. I don't fixate on the small stuff. Well, your church believes this and my church believes this and your predestination, post-destination, Armenian, Calvinist, I don't care. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. He's the only way to, only way, yes. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yeah, Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay. Do you want all of them you can get? But I don't want to be weird. I'm not weird, but I'm having fun every day. And many of them have come to know. This was so significant because back then the belief was, and it's the only time recorded in the book of Acts in the New Testament, where, the Spirit-filled experience was separate. It was the only time. It all happened at the same time. And there wasn't this big prayer and a confession, and they didn't raise their hand and come up to the altar, you know, and take off their t-shirt that had a weird thing on it, you know. It just made it really simple. I shared my story, and their heart came alive. Yeah, I believe in that, Jesus. And yep. And all of a sudden, they like burst out in tongue. I don't know. God just threw out the formula. He just threw out the formula and the religious prejudice of we got it all figured out, and you guys, like, don't. I remember going on a date with a gentleman from a different denomination that they didn't allow tongues and so forth. And he's like, do you blah, 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 glossaria, blah, blah. And it's like the Greek word. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But he passed the salt, weird date. He's like, I get in these deep places of prayer and these like other words come out, but I can't tell anybody into my denomination or I'll be fired. He stayed in it. And guess what? God's moving in revival in that particular denomination. And I've met more people that are Spirit-filled operating in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit within that denomination. I believe he was a missionary sent. Gosh, I'm so excited. Oh, where'd I go? Okay, I got like 5 more pages of notes. But you know what? We're just going to, okay, Holy Spirit, just show us where we're supposed to land. I'm excited about this. God needed to cause a divine connection to transform the world. And he needed us to throw aside all of our religion and preconceived notions and all of our cultural biases and all the things we want to pick apart and change about the person that we don't have a scripture to back it. Just share your story. Preach a simple gospel. What gospel are we preaching? You need to look like this. You need to talk like this. You just keep it simple about Jesus. Then go, hey, let's just get in the word together. You know, you want to see someone's world change. You want to see someone's whole worldview, how they vote change. Read Romans. Read Romans. Just read Romans. Let God do the work. Oh, man. You read Romans and say, God, I want all of you I can get. Transform me in your image. Revelation comes. Just say, hey, do you want to do a Bible study about Romans with me? Don't beat them upside the head. Just let them ask questions about the scripture. I'll tell you, God will change them. We don't change people. The word of God. I can't take a physical Bible. Yes, I actually could. I've had this happen to me by a family member where they take a physical Bible and just beat you upside the head. Not really, but they did. They weaponized scripture all the time. And I'd like sit down with them for dinner. This person loved Jesus. And blah, 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 blah. I just want to debate everything. And I'm like, I'm good. Just made you kind of not want to read the Bible. Lovely family. Love Jesus. But it's just kind of, maybe that was how they were taught in their family. I don't know. But you know what's great when you do a Bible study with someone with no agenda and open up scripture and let just God take you through it and he'll change your life? You know, bring it up one time. Hey, what do you think about this scripture? You've done the work. You don't have to like bring it up every time you see him, okay? When we share the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to go into all the world. That means every community, every different people group, every different person with a different lifestyle, with different sexual preferences, and say, do you want to come to my barbecue? Because they're probably not going to come to church with you. But they'll come to your barbecue, maybe front yard barbecue, you know, just less commitment. I'll just get a burger while I walk through, walking the dog. Okay. To reach people of all different political parties with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're probably going to have to invite them to be your guest. Your kid's birthday party. Hey, I'm walking my dog. You want to walk the dog with me? Hey, I'm taking my kid to the park. You want to go with? They'll probably meet you there. And when you share your story and a simple gospel of who Jesus is and what the power of the Holy Spirit has done in your life and these wild gifts that move through you, but you're not weird, they probably will want what you have. And that is how the world changes. But our problem, this is the church, is we only like to preach to the choir. And we only like to hang out with people that agree with us because we get all frazzled when someone doesn't and we get emotional. You know, those that are called into the world to debate are those that are able to do it without getting emotional and just, you know, getting all upset. You know, And if you can't do that, you're probably not called to debate. You're probably just called to share your story and go pray for them. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Throw out my 5 pages of notes. Come back next, whatever. I'll get there. This all starts, the world changes, when we start honoring people despite our differences. We open up our home and our lives with hospitality. I just want to read one scripture. Romans 10:3-12, and we're going to end here. How does the world around us change? How to become Christians of influence? Romans 10:3-12. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Stay humble and stop thinking you got it all figured out. Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, Philippians 3. All the good stuff I did, all the bad stuff I ever did, doesn't mean anything. Whew. Just walking with Jesus, being found in him. And then he says, and I haven't even arrived yet. I think he'd had stuff figured out. Never think you got it all figured out and you know better than someone else. Because I guarantee you, you hang out with someone different than you from a different church, you'll learn something from them. I've been to churches that I walk in and there is reverence and honor for God that our spirit-filled churches have totally lost. And I am convicted because I go, God, this is different. They may do different teachings and preaching, but I can learn honor and awe and reverence for the Lord. And I should probably be a little different. I'm convicted by that. But I went, oh, you don't do Holy Spirit around here. No, I'm going to learn something from every church. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Then it says this in verse 4, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. That means all these churches that believe in Jesus as the only way, we are one body, we're one family. And each member belongs to all the others. That means we belong together. We belong together. Okay, we'll do a worship song on that one. And we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. We need to respect that people have different gifts. We do it different, but I have something to learn from everybody. There's tons of spiritual gifts, man, incredible. Learn to honor the person despite some of these differences and even the different gifts that we have. The Bible says to avoid debating controversy. Don't major on the minors. Agree to disagree. Because you know what? You can't beat them upside the head with the Bible and change them. That's a work where you go, Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, get them to read Romans. Let's all do a Bible study in Romans. Get everybody to do one in Romans. Romans 12:1-2. Operating table. I'll lay it on. I will make myself a living sacrifice and let Jesus change me. Just stay in the scripture. Is it about being right or making the relationship right? God tells me that all the time. He's like, hey, they're just not ready yet. Do you need to be right? Do you need to corner them so they agree with you right now? Or you just go, let's just read Romans together and let God do the work. Let's just let the word speak. Okay, let's start praying together. Okay, it says this, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouragement, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's leading, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. Whatever God's called you to be, do it with everything in you. And know that people are going to do it differently than you. And that's okay. As long as Jesus is the Savior and the only way to heaven. And we don't compromise on the Word of God. And this is, I want to say this. Romans 10:10. Now this is key because some of you guys are like, but Sherry, I didn't say honor what they are different at or believe in. Follow me. I said honor them despite your differences. So, yeah, some of your little heads are like, I don't know. I'm not honoring sin. I'm not honoring differences, okay? Romans 10:10 says, love must be sincere. I am called to love them. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. It says in the last days, they will call good evil and evil good. Churches do that and it breaks my heart. I will love the snot out of that person. I'll tell you, I'll hug them tight, right, Deb? We hug tight. We hug tight. But when asked those hard questions, I'm going to say, but this is what the Word of God says. I know it's a hard truth. That's sin. But dang, I love you. You want to come to church with me? Oh, no. Okay, tell you what. Come to my barbecue. Hang out with some of my church friends. We'll just have church at my home. Come to my grow group. You know, hey, just come hang out. Come to Walmart with me. Okay. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. We will always call sin, sin at this church. I've had people leave this church because they don't like it. They love me. They love you guys. But there are certain scriptures that they don't like. And I told them, I love you, but I can't change what the Word of God says. There are just things in your life and your lifestyle and choices that the world is saying is okay, and even other Christians are, even other churches are, and they're going to go find a church that says that that sin's okay, and the Bible doesn't say that. You got to read the whole thing. But you know what? They still ask me to pray for them. All right. You guys can stand up. Verse 10 says this, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters and take the lead in honoring one another. These scriptures and context will change your life. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring each other. Other translations say, delight in honoring each other. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Make it a competition. I'm going to honor you so much, you're going to feel really uncomfortable, and you're going to just finally sit beside me because you've been avoiding me. And then they're going to go, oh, that person drives me nuts. Oh, my gosh. Oh, but they honored me, and I'll honor them back. Just honor, honor. And then all of a sudden, you start to delight in honoring other people. God's saying, make it a competition. I'm going to honor you so much that we forget all of our differences and why we drive each other nuts. And we're just going to celebrate Jesus, and God's just going to make us more like him. Verse 13, this is where my little kick to the teeth goes. Tell her, read it in context. It says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. You say, your friends, oh, we're church friends. We're church family. Have they ever been over to your house for dinner? Do you hang out? You invite them to your kid's birthday party? Go to the football game with them? I know y'all busy, but we could probably do something outside of this little box here. They have a grow group. You know what? If you can make it one time to Heather and Glenn's grow group, it'd be awesome. Number one, you'll get to know them, and they're so funny. And you'll learn something. You might not be able to be there every time, right, Glenn? They can still come if they can't commit every single Monday. You might miss out on the invitation for his ham and bean and potato soup. It's incredible. But I'm just saying, honor the invitation, right? All right, I'm gonna stop there. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just love you so much. I thank you for your word. I thank you for scripture, God, and all those little gray zones and areas of question and cultural preferences and just backgrounds and stuff. God, thank you for giving me scripture that I can always just rest in your word. And God, help us. Your prayer. You know, people say Jesus came to divide. What he did is he just said, you got to pick a side. Read that in context. Jesus just said, pick a side. You with me or are you against me? He didn't divide the church. He went to the world and says, hey, I'm a free gift. All you got to do is believe in me and you will be saved. He didn't divide churches over splitting hairs. His greatest prayer before he departed, John chapter 17, he said, Lord God, make them one as we are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they would be in the world but not of the world. He is sending you to people that are very different than you, and he is restoring unity to his church body. Even if you meet in a different building, we will honor other believers that believe in Jesus is the only way. We will honor them and how we speak about them. We might hang out. Might be good. And let's watch the Holy Spirit move in great power, because they might not come to church here. They'll probably sit in the break room with you. Lord God, we love you so much, and I thank you right now that you are speaking to us, of people that you are calling us to do life with, to connect with, so what's in them can get in us and what's in us can get into them. Thank you, Father God, that we fight for unity. We fight for unity. It's not about being right. It's keeping relationships right. Lord, we just love you so much. We just thank you. We surrender our lives to you. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, we keep it real simple. You don't even have to say a particular prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and I want to give my life to him, you will be saved. So let's just say it real simple. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying for me. I give my life to you. Make me more like you.